News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is Thursday, and it's time to bring on our cybersecurity expert, Teresa Payton. I talked to you earlier this week, actually, as part of my Sunday and Monday show because of all this breaking news surrounding Washington. And you are a former chief information officer at the White House during the George W. Bush administration. What must it be like right now to be in charge of all the digital operations for a president that has been banned from a lot of the main ones that are information vehicles?
I mean, this time of doing a presidential transition is always incredibly stressful, but I cannot imagine sort of the ongoing consternation of trying to keep up with what official accounts are still active and need to be managed and also preserved. And then which ones are banned and what does that mean? And are they going to go live before the 20th? Because what a lot of people don't realize is, though, while incoming President Biden, while he is being sworn in, behind the scenes at the White House, all of those records, both paper and digital, need to be removed so that they can be preserved by the National Archives of the United States, otherwise known as NARA. And so whether or not these accounts end up coming back online and what that means for the preservation efforts of records, I can only imagine the changing dynamic landscape that the team is having to deal with right now.
So YouTube is the latest big tech hub that has put restrictions on President Trump, not an outright lifetime ban like Twitter, but he's on, shall we say, YouTube probation. What do you know about this story right now?
They've suspended the president's channel, and that channel has, you know, just shy of 3 million subscribers. So, again, it's one of those things where you can see where big tech means well. They want to make sure that there isn't violence on Inauguration Day in the days leading up to and the days after. But I'm going to keep going back to the conversation that you and I have had, Beau, which is, hey, look, when somebody breaks the rules, they should not be allowed to use the platform. But in addition to that, the governance structure for how these decisions are made, what's banned, how it's banned, is it temporary, is it permanent, all of that needs more transparency and understanding so that people see that it's applied equally across different types of scenarios. And so my biggest advice to big tech is going to be, you know, understandably, if people do violate or accounts violate your procedures and your terms and conditions, then it's within your place to basically say, we're not going to allow this to happen. But be transparent and make sure everybody understands how the governance model works.
So I guess little tech maybe what Parler is categorized as right now, if you compare it to the big hubs. And now where are we with Parler? I wonder what happens to all the information that now, if you're a member, you can't access. And if you're a newbie, you can't get on.
Once Amazon Web Services said they were going to suspend Parler's account, which basically takes them offline, Parler started shopping around to find a new place, a new home. Rumor has it that they may be hosted by a firm known as Epic, E-P-I-K. Epic has not confirmed that they are going to indeed be hosting them. So it remains to be seen whether or not they actually did find a home, are in discussions. I mean, there's really not a lot of information coming out there. What is also an interesting development, though, is that there was apparently a bug with how Parler worked with postings. And right before it went offline, some different types of tech people actually went and grabbed all of the information from Parler, the public-facing information, location information, posts, accounts, and actually created an archive of Parler before it was taken offline. What's going to be done with that? Who knows? But obviously there is an investigation ongoing as to how the violence on the Hill was coordinated, how it transpired, who was behind it, And so this may end up being a treasure trove for that ongoing investigation.
Well, and if you're a member and all of a sudden you lose access to your account, but you have information there, you have no way of deleting that. You have no way of changing anything. So how do you know if you're a user that when your information is and isn't just floating out there?
You don't. And this should be a stark reminder to everyone that any platform that you are on, whether it's Parler, Facebook, Instagram, that all of those posts that you post at any point in time, your account could be frozen, suspended, and that information doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to the platform. And so that is a really stark reminder that everything that you do online, just understand it could be taken out of your hands in an instant and be used to judge you, and you won't have a say. You won't be able to edit it, scrub it, or take it back.
Man, just another layer that a lot of people probably aren't really thinking about, but it's a generic warning about any kind of online activity. Here's a little bit of a reversal. Spokane, Washington, a North Idaho internet provider called Your T1 Wi-Fi is blocking Facebook and Twitter from its Wi-Fi service for some customers due to censorship claims.
I saw that and I thought, wow, the gauntlet has been thrown. And so it'll be interesting to see whether or not they're allowed to continue to do that because Washington State actually has a net neutrality law in place. So this gets so complicated because you've got federal regulations and then states have their own regulations around what can be blocked, what shouldn't be blocked, and it all means well. So a lot of the blocking that is allowed to happen and happen at both a federal level and a state level was to block things such as child trafficking, pornographic images that were taken against somebody's will, without their permission, whether they're underage or of age. And so a lot of it is to basically provide protections for victims and to ensure that people who are minors don't accidentally see this type of imagery or conversations, inappropriate conversations. So the blocking is there for a reason, and the laws are there for a reason. But, wow, this is a really interesting development. Who knows whether it'll stick? And let's see what the next step is.
Yeah, it's the first real example of pushback from what we've seen from the big tech companies over the last week. I'm not going to say right here, I'll talk to you next week, because the way things are going, I may talk to you in a few hours. But I'll implore people to follow you on Twitter at Tracker Payton for all the latest developments. For now, thank you as always, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Be safe out there, Beau.